the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and in this podcast, I wanted to talk to you today about how to make next year your best year yet. So we're going to run through seven different steps, and hopefully you're listening to this and you are either sat down and maybe even have like a pen or some paper where you can actually write down some of the things that you come up with. If you're not in that situation, you're driving, then that's fine. Obviously, drive safe and keep your eyes on the road, etc. But just listen to what I've got to say, and then just in the back of your mind, just have a think about what it is that you actually want to achieve. So we're coming up to the end of this year. We're midway through December, and obviously everybody's thoughts are going towards less work, and towards the Christmas season, and then towards New Year, and then ready to like reset, ready for next year. And you know, I used to get asked quite a lot, and people stop asking me these days because they know I don't believe in them, but they would ask, do you have any New Year's resolutions? And I'm like, I don't have New Year's resolutions. I've got new resolutions all the time. Only we don't call them resolutions. We call them goals or dreams or whatever you want to call them. But we call them goals, right? A goal is a dream with a deadline, if you like. And so, a goal is by this month I want to do this, and by this month I want to do that, and by this time I want to do this. So, for example, because of our magic little spreadsheet that we've got, and if you've not got one, then you need one, because of our magic little spreadsheet, I can look at that and it will tell me how much money we're going to make in January, how much we're going to make in Feb, how much we're going to make in March, and all the way through next year. Now, the reason why we can do that, and it's not an exact science, as obviously stuff happens, right? But the reason why we can do that, there's two aspects of this. The first bit is we've got fixed income to some extent. So we've just sent rent increase letters out, and so all of the tenants have come back and said, yeah, that's fine. Most of them have been there for 3 years or more, and we've not increased the rents, and so we've just put the rents up. And so I can look at each month, because my spreadsheet will tell me what the forecast is likely to be from a profit point of view each month. And then what we can do, so let's just take a random number. So these are not my numbers, we don't give those out, but let's just take a random number. So let's say, let's make a realistic number. Let's say you're on $1,250 a month. That's how much money you've got left at the end of each month. Now, I know there's people listening to this and going, oh my gosh, if only I had $1,250 a month. There's people listening to this and going, I don't even make that. Well, if you don't even make that, then that's one of your goals that you've got to be doing, is you've got to double whatever it is that you're on right now. And how do you do that? Well, you do that by adding value to the marketplace. The market will pay you what the market thinks you're worth. And if you want more money, you've got to bring more value to the marketplace. It's really as simple as that. That's the nature of all business. So let's just say $1,250 a month, and let's say you want a new car. So $1,250 times 10 months is £12,500. That will get you a pretty nice car. And it's one of the things that people seem not to be able to do. If you want to go on holiday to the Bahamas and it's going to cost you £3,000, well, £3,000 is £300 times 10 months. And this is how we save up for stuff. This is when we're looking at investment and we decide what we're going to make. This is how we do it. We work out what is that income going to, what's the capital going to generate as income for us. So if you're investing 100 grand into stocks and shares and it pays 3%, that'll make you £3,000 a year. You can't really live off that, obviously. But 100 grand in property, 50 grand houses at £400 a month, that's £800, that's £9,600. That's almost triple the amount that you get in a dividend that pays 3%. Does this make sense? So the first goal that you've got to set for 2017 or 2018, whenever you happen to be listening to this, the very, very first goal is how much money do you want to make? And this is the, I think this is the thing that people get wrong. They say, okay, by this time next year, December next year, I want to have earned £25,000. And it's completely irrelevant. It could be £250,000. How much you earn is completely irrelevant. Obviously, the more money that you earn, the better it is. But you've got to be working out not how much you earn, but how much you save. It's not what you make, it's what you save. So if you're bringing in 25 grand a month, but you're spending 24,750 quid, you've got 250 quid a month left. How's that working out for you? Not very well. And so this is why the spreadsheet that we've got, that we get everyone to fill in, all our clients should be filling in their spreadsheets. And if you're not a client yet, then one, you should be, and two, you should be filling in your spreadsheet. It's about how much money you can save, because that money that you save can go towards investing in an asset that'll generate more cash. And so instead of buying that BMW that's going to cost you £500 a month, 500 quid a month, it might make you feel great, but that's £6,000 a year. If you've got a credit card of £6,000, then, you know, this is what we call opportunity cost. You're spending 500 quid on a BMW, but your credit card at £6,000 is going up 20% a year because you're not paying it down. So that's money being paid on money, being paid on money. So if you've had a credit card for 10 years, you're paying interest on interest from 10 years ago. And so you've got to find a way of getting all of your debt down. That's the key. And we do this by looking at how much money can we save. You see, there's no point in investing in anything until you get rid of credit card. I don't know of a single asset that will pay you 20% a year in income. I don't know a single asset. We've got one, which I'm not going to say what it is, but we have got one. But other than that one, it's a crowdfunding product. Other than that one, and obviously it's not guaranteed, I don't know anything that will pay you 20% a year. But if you pay down your credit card, it will save you 20% a year. But for some reason, human psychology can't seem to cope with that. It feels this need to generate cash instead of saving cash. And saving cash is just as powerful, if not more powerful, than generating cash, because you're saving 20%, whereas when you generate interest, you might get, 5%, maybe 10% on a return. You know, on a yield, you might get 9% on a deal, maybe 14% if you push it. Still not 20%, no. So step one is you've got to work out how much money you want to save each and every month. And when you know, so let's say it's £250, let's make it even more realistic. So 250 quid, that's £3,000 in 10 months, it's £2,500 in 10 months and £3,000 in 12 months. Getting my numbers muddled up. So you can do something with £3,000. You could pay down your credit card maybe. And it's like, oh, is that all I'm going to get to after 1 year? Look, I've been in property 18 years. It always starts off slow. And then what you're doing is you're getting success built on top of that success, already success that you've had. And then after that, you're getting more success built on top of that success and more and more and more. And it's literally being compounded forwards as you move through time. It might not feel like a lot, you know, the next 6 months, 12 months, you're working two jobs and it's 60 hour weeks and it's hard work and it's, you know, it's hard. But you got yourself into this state, it's about time you get yourself out of this state. Now, even if you've not got credit card debt and you're able to save more than that, you know, £500 a month saved is £6,000. You can do something with that. If you get up to £1,500, is that £18,000 a year saved? £18,000, by the way, is a deposit on a house. So for the next 20 years, you can buy a house a year. All right, all things being equal, prices staying the same and so on. But you know what I mean. A house a year for the next 20 years, that's it. You never have to work again after that. As long as you buy the right thing in the right area. But it all starts from sorting out what you want your goal to be, what your financial take home is. How much are you going to save each and every month? Okay, so that's step one. That's a financial goal that you've got to set. And look, you don't just set it in your head. You get your spreadsheet and you get on your spreadsheet and you work out. So let's say you're not saving anything at all right now and you set yourself a goal of saving 250 quid a month. That's great. You go onto the spreadsheet, you put all your coffee, all your shoes, all your electricity, all your mortgage, your rent, your petrol, your car payment, and that goes on there. And if you've got to sell your car to save 250 quid a month and get on the bike, it's going to do two things. One, it's going to save you 250 quid a month on the cash flow of the car, right? Then it's going to save you on the petrol and the MOT and the insurance and everything else that goes with having a car, tyres, oil, brakes, that sort of thing. The second thing it's going to do for you is it's going to get you fit. There's a third thing it will do, and it's this idea of, and I mentioned it in the last podcast, actually, it was a video I mentioned it on and we've not released it yet, but we will release the video soon. And it's about you going through this pain to come out the other side. It's about feeling worthwhile. And sometimes you've got to go through the pain. It's why, like, people who do weightlifting and so on, they love going to the gym and throwing some weights around because they enjoy that pain because it makes them feel like they've done something, they've accomplished something. So if you've got to sell the car and get on the bike, then awesome. You're going to get, you know, a couple of good results from that. But that's step one. You've got to commit, you've got to decide to getting the amount of money you want to save. Now, the step two then, to making next year the best year yet, is to commit to it. This means telling your spouse, It means even sharing it with your kids, maybe. So they understand to turn the lights off. Like, every single penny counts. Every single penny counts. A penny that you don't spend can go onto your credit card that if you'd have done that for the last 15 years, you would have paid your credit card off by now. As slow as that is, that's what would have happened. There's a story, actually. I'll tell you the story. It's quite funny. So the guy is talking to the woman, and the woman is a smoker. And the guy says to her, I said, how many packets do you smoke a day? Or one packet a day. And how much have you a packet? 10 quid. Okay, so that's £10 a day. And he does the maths. So that's 365 days. So that's 3,650 a year. And he's like, you know what? Over like 10 years, that's like 35 grand. You know, over 15 years, that's what? It's about 50 grand or so. She's like, yeah. Well, if you just not started smoking but saved that money, you could have actually ended up with a Ferrari. She's like, wow, that's amazing. I didn't realise all that money was literally going up in smoke. And then she turns around to him and she goes, so do you smoke? And he goes, no. And she goes, great, where's your fucking Ferrari then? So, apologise for the F word. So, I thought it was quite funny. But you've got to commit to it. These little things that you're saving each and every month, you've got to commit, you've got to share it with your family, maybe not your friends, depends on how taboo money is as a subject. Money is such a taboo subject. It's like, it's just weird. I'm very open with money. I'm happy to talk about it. I love talking about money. Because the more we talk about it, the more we understand it. People go, oh, it doesn't make you happy. Of course it bloody well does. The only people who say that are people who haven't got any and think that money equals happiness. It doesn't equal happiness. But a lack of money certainly makes you feel depressed when the bailiff's knocking on the front door because you've not paid your electricity bill. You know, so when people say money doesn't make you happy, of course it bloody well does. I've been depressed and poor, and I've been rich and depressed. Or let me rephrase it. I've been depressed and poor and depressed and rich. Depressed and rich is awesome. You can go buy a Ferrari or a jet ski, or I can go out on a canoe. You know, we all have times when we go through life and we're like, oh, life's not working for us. We go through some sort of depression stage. And I think as an entrepreneur, it's like the Achilles heel, isn't it? We go through that more, I would say, than normal people who get up and go to work. Maybe our expectations are more. And when we don't hit those expectations, it hurts, you know? So the key here is that you've got to commit. You've got to commit. And one of the ways in which we commit is we share our goals with our closest family, friends, people who love us, people who are going to support us. Don't share them with people who go, that's rubbish, that. That's a load of rubbish, that won't work. Don't share them with those sort of people. They don't deserve you to share your stuff with them. Let them wallow in their own self-pity of shitness whilst you are on the path to greatness and awesomeness and financial freedom and paying down all your credit card debt and starting to invest in the stock market, in bonds, mutual funds, property, gold, FX. I don't care. As long as you're moving forward. And then when you leave work and you're financially free and you can get to your kids' sports day, or you can have a massage on a Monday morning at 9:30 when everyone else is stuck in traffic at 8:30 because you're an hour ahead living in Spain. That's what it's worth. I'm on a roll today. I can feel it. So this is step two, is you've got to commit to it. And you commit to it by getting that spreadsheet. And you commit to it by looking at that spreadsheet every single day. You need to know how much you're spending each day. And when you spend something like £10, then you update how much money is left in your bank account. And that will then tell you at the bottom how much money you're forecasting to spend this month, because you've got direct debits that you know are going out. You've got £25 allocated to a coffee fund because you're a coffee addict, or a shoe fund, or a handbag fund, or whatever that happens to be. And so you've got that. And when you're going through your month, when you spend that money, you delete it. And then you also change the amount of money that's left in your bank. So that you know at the end of the month that you forecast to make £254.36. Brilliant. I've got £4.36 left. I better not buy any more coffee. So you can make proper, educated decisions about how you're going to spend your money. Rather than going to a cash point, seeing how much money you've got, and, oh, I've got 50 quid left, I'll spend that, but not knowing what else you've got to come through. Or even worse, you just go to the shops and you hope that your card goes through at Starbucks. There's nothing worse than, well, there's plenty of things worse than that, but it's a pretty piss poor way of you defining your career, your financial freedom, and your journey towards becoming financially free. Okay, so step three then is to make adjustments along the way. Look, life is not a straight line. I wish it was. I wish you could decide this year, next year I'm going to do this, this and this. And then you wake up next year and this, this and this has all been done. Everything went perfect. No boilers blew up. No tenants grew cannabis farms or left dog crap all over the carpet. We would love life to happen as we write in our goals. But life's not like that. So we call it sensory acuity. You've got to keep an eye on what's going on, keep an eye on what's working, keep an eye on what's not working as well. And then you make behavioural adjustments along the way. And so you've got to continue to make these adjustments because life changes, you know. So then the next bit is this is step four. The next bit is you've got to be consistent. Every single day you need to be looking at that spreadsheet. If you're in business, every single day you've got to be creating a piece of content and putting it out on social media, onto your blog, or out via your email list, or all of those, ideally. We've just spent yesterday up to January, I think it's the 15th today. Yeah, it's the 15th today of December. We just spent today allocating images that will take us into January every single day for the next 2 weeks. And we've just done that. And so we're consistent. We've got 5 images a day. They're all going out. We're consistent in that sending it out. One area we're not consistent with is our videos and our podcasts. And so we've got to improve on that. But this is where, again, sensory acuity, looking at what's working and what's not working. And then you change your behavior. It's behavioral flexibility. That's what we call it. Well, you've got to be consistent with it. So if you're looking for another job, for example, and you're sending one CV every so often, how consistent is that? And how are those results going to work out for you? Consistency will breed results. If you go to the gym because you want to lose some weight, if you go once every so often when you feel like it, do you think you're going to lose that weight? Or do you go once a day or once every 3 days, religiously, I hate using that word, religiously to go and get that result? Which of those two do you think is going to get the result? Obviously, it's the second one. If you're in a bar and there's a hot chick on the other side of a pub, and you go up to her, and you're fine, you might get knocked back, right? But if you do that consistently in different bars with different ladies, do you think you're going to get results? Of course you're going to get results. It's a numbers game to some extent. I had a friend of mine when we were 18, 19, and he literally asked 1,000 girls out. Almost every single one of them said no. Do you know what? He only needed one to say yes out of 1,000. I have no idea what happened to him. They could be married with 50 kids. Who the hell knows? But consistency is the key. Not the results. Forget about the results. We focus too much on the results. And when we don't get the results we want, we stop. And so then because we stop, we're never going to get those results. So it's like if you do everything that you're supposed to do, you will get the result that you're supposed to get. So that then takes us on to step 5, which is you've got to start understanding that you are going to succeed. You've got to expect it. You've got to have, and I hate this word as well, but you've got to have faith that the work that you're going to do, you might not get an instant result. The chances of you getting an instant result, getting a client, losing that weight, getting the guy or the girl in the bar on goal number one, is probably not going to work. But you've got to expect that if you're consistent and you're doing this behavior on a consistent basis, you are going to succeed. It's just a numbers game. Whatever it happens to be, from weight loss to money making to relationships, it's just a numbers game. You've got to start expecting yourself to succeed. But one of the key parts of this is visualizing yourself. I've been up to the basketball court on the indoor court. It cost me €3. I go in. I'm supposed to be there for an hour, but I went for 2 hours last time. It was great. Just me, a ball, and the hoop. Nobody else. Bit of music on. It's awesome. I love it. Because I'm playing basketball, I want to get better, right? So, numbers game. I've got to be consistent in when I'm going. So, I'm on the free throw line, and I'm shooting my free throws. And when I'm shooting my free throws, just before I release the shot, I visualize the shot going in the hoop. And you know what? My free throws were dire, absolutely dire. They're about 60%, so I'm hitting 6 out of 10. As soon as I start doing, there's two things I do. The first bit is I slow down. And just before I release the ball, I visualize the shot going in. Because I've slowed down, I've got a bit of time to do it. My shooting percentages are like 90%. 90%. It's amazing. Because I expect it's going to go in. Well, I was going back a couple of weeks ago where I've not been practicing at all. Like, I had a game like 4 weeks ago. And before that was like 4 months ago. You know, no consistency at all. And I didn't expect the ball to go in, so it wasn't. And it's a numbers game. When you add up and you stack all of these different steps together, then you're going to get the result. If you're not consistent, so let's say you're doing the other 6 steps, but you're not consistent, you're not going to get the result. If you're consistent, but you expect to fail, you're not going to get the result. All these steps stack on top of each other. So step six then, is that you've got to be the best version of you. There's no point in doing 50 things all at once, because that is not the best version of you. If you want to get fit, get fit. If you want to ask the girl or the guy out, go ask the girl and the guy out. Make sure you smell nice, make sure you look good, make sure you brush your teeth. Be the best version of you that you possibly could be. If you want to buy your very first investment property, be the best person that you can be. The type of person who buys a property. What clothes do they wear? How do they hold their head? How do they walk? How do they drive? How do they speak? Be the very best person that you can be. It's about taking pride in yourself. When I walk on that basketball court, even though my game for the last couple of years, I would say, has been absolutely dire, okay? As soon as I step foot on that basketball court, I am no longer 5'7" and white. I'm 6'6" and black, Michael Jordan. That's who I turn into. The tongue's out. I'm talking shit to the other team. They don't understand what I'm saying because they're Spanish and I'm English. But I become Michael Jordan. I'm not little Dan anymore. I'm 6'6", larger than life. Don't let me get hot, because as soon as I get hot, it's game over. That's my mentality when I go into it. Not only do I expect to succeed, even though I have been inconsistent, and therefore, actually, I have not got the results, but not only have I been expecting to succeed, I take pride in who I am. I become the best basketball player that I can be in my mind. Does that improve my game? Yes. Do I get the best possible game out of that? No. Why? Because step four, which is about being consistent, is vacant. It's not there. I'm not being consistent. So this is why we say all of these different items have got to stack up on themselves. So be the best version of you that you possibly can be. Okay, final step right here is about you remembering that you're on a journey and that this goal is out there, and it's about you enjoying the journey. There's no point in going to the basketball court for an hour every day and shooting hoops. This is what I do. Just me. I'm taking 350 shots in an hour. I'm doing some ball handling, some dribbling work, forcing myself to make a mistake as much as I can, because that helps me improve. But I don't do it because I hate it. I do it because I love it. If I'm stuck in an area of my life, I can go to the basketball court. 20 minutes in, I've got the answer. For me, that's what I've done since the age of like 13 and 14. On the outdoor court in Leeds, you know, when it was, we'd play in the snow. We'd bounce the ball and it wouldn't come back up and you couldn't feel your fingers. And they'd turn the lights off at dark at 4 or 5 o'clock and you're playing in the dark and you can't feel the ball. You know, I enjoyed the journey. If you're hating the journey, you're on the wrong journey. There's some things that you have to do, by the way. Now, let's talk about cold calling. Cold calling doesn't have to be one of those things that you have to do. If you don't want to do cold calling, then don't do it. But you have got to find another way around of getting either someone else to do it, or you use attraction marketing where you're pulling leads to you instead of you going out and hitting the phones. You've got to enjoy the process. If you're not enjoying the process, not only are you going to hate yourself, but those results won't come. In order for those results to come, you've got to enjoy it. And if you're really not enjoying it, then you've got to find someone else to do it for you, or you've got to find a different way around it. You've got to be enjoying the journey. You are going to come across obstacles and things that aren't going to work. You're going to fail from time to time. And you just got to understand that this is part of the journey. This is like the hero's journey. We don't have films about the hero's journey where he wakes up, he's already a hero, he saves loads of lives, and he's just a hero. Well, maybe we do have those films, right? Let's take Superman as a perfect example, okay? So he's Superman, he's a super guy, he's got no problems because he's just Superman. But every Superman film doesn't start with Superman waking up and just saving a load of people, and that's it. He has this hero's journey. You have your hero's journey. Boy, I've had my hero's journey. Still going through mine with family court. We're still waiting for a court date, for God's sake. Yet again. So I'm still on my hero's journey. Every lesson that I've learned from that family court has made me a better person, quite frankly. A better business person. It's made me better with money. It's helped me invest better. It's helped me be a better parent. That's the hero's journey. All of these obstacles that you're going to have, that are set out in front of you are all designed for you to learn and to be educated and to implement off all those obstacles. The problem for most people is they get obstacles and they get really upset, and that's okay, that's natural. But then they give up because I can't do it, it's too hard, and they give up. Life is there to test you, and life is there to put obstacles in your way. One of the things I learned from my NLP coach was a saying, obstacles are signposts that you're on the right journey. So if you're not getting obstacles, you're not trying hard enough. You're not pushing it as fast as and hard as you can. If you, just a few moments ago, I was talking about me forcing myself to make a mistake while practicing my ball handling drills. I've got these little cones and I dribble through them and I do jump stops and crossover dribbles and behind the back dribbles and spin moves. And what I'm doing is I'm doing these moves as fast and fast and fast as I can, because I'm trying to force myself into making a mistake. Because when I get into a game, there will be people trying to stop me doing the move that I want to do, right? So me pushing myself will move myself closer to the envelope of game-like situations. If you practice how you play in a game, then you'll practice really hard. Most people forget to practice and they're just playing at practicing. They're not playing like it's serious. We played two-on-two on the outdoor court, and the guy that I was with, he wasn't fussed if he won or lost any of the time. And yet he was always a guy who wanted to take the last shot. I'm like, dude, I'm not giving it to you. I'm taking the last shot. Because it bloody well matters if we win or lose this game, because I want to win. I want to win this goddamn game. You couldn't care less. So I didn't give him the ball. And I usually hit the shot in those days. It's going back some time. Because it's about winning. So look, you've got to give yourself credit along the way. You're going to have obstacles. These obstacles, look for them. And when you get one, celebrate. Yes, got an obstacle. You might not feel like celebrating. I definitely don't feel like celebrating after spending another almost £2,000 with yet another shitty solicitor who's incapable of doing anything properly. I apologise if you're a solicitor, but... So you've got to be recognising these obstacles. And so, you know, we actually didn't think we were going to get another court date. We thought it was going to be rejected. All I want to do is take my kids to Canada on holiday. And we've got to go to court. It's cost us nearly £2,000. Just the tickets are £3,000. So we've almost spent the equivalent of the tickets just on getting into court. It's crazy. Is that annoying? Yeah. Is it upsetting? Hell yeah. Is it frustrating? Yep. Is there a risk that the tickets might, on that one flight that's available, might all go? Yep. And we can't book it because we're not in court yet. But what does that teach us? It teaches you to stand up and present yourself and continue and never ever give up and go for the result that you get. Do we lose some of those? Of course we do. Is that painful? Yeah. Is it an obstacle? Yeah. Is it? Can we recover from it? Of course we can. Because from our point of view, it's like, what's the alternative? We don't see the kids ever again? That's no alternative. So we have no choice. People say, oh, you're really brave fighting for your kids for 7 years. It's not bravery. We've got no choice. I could be a schmuck and never see my kids again, like some guys do. And if you're listening and you're a guy like that, then you need to sort that out. Because in 20 years' time, you'll regret it later on, I promise you. I've spoken to lots of people who were children going through this situation and who've had dads who fought for them, and they've got a fantastic relationship. And I've also met people and the dad never fought for them and they don't even speak to them anymore. So it's all a choice, you know. But you've got to remember that this is the journey. The hero's journey has obstacles in it. We don't wake up, our hair is perfect, our muscles are perfect. Our smelly dog breath doesn't exist. Do you know what I mean? Life doesn't work like that, I'm afraid. And if you think you do, your expectations are wrong. However, that's not to say life's crap all the time, because it doesn't have to be. Life is what you make it. But you've got to remember that you are going to have these obstacles that are going to prevent you from getting whatever it is that you happen to want. So look, there are the 7 steps for next year. And we're probably going to hit some webinars. So if you're on a mailing list, then that's great. You'll get email for webinars. Now, if you're not on a mailing list, then get on a mailing list. Just go to a website, daniellatto.co.uk. A pop-up box will come up and ask you to subscribe to the mailing list. And subscribe, and we'll go through some webinars where we can do some teaching, some training, and so on, including more of this type of stuff. Other than that, that's it for this podcast, and we'll speak to you in the next one. All right, my name's Dan Latter. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.